The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I was a high school senior and getting ready to apply to colleges, my parents had to fill out the predecessor to the FAFSA. Do people still have to fill out that financial aid? Yeah, okay. But back in the old days, it was called the Parents Confidential Statement. And this had to be filled out for me to receive scholarship aid. My father was a small business person without a high school education who was intimidated by that form. So he handed me his federal income tax form and the parents' confidential statement and said, "Here, you fill this out." As a result, I learned a lot about my parents' finances. What intrigued me most was their giving to the church. Although their income was low, I qualified for a War on Poverty grant when I went to college. They had given 15% of their taxable income to the church that year. Now, granted, my father was self-employed, so maybe it was really closer to 10%, because when you're self-employed, there are a lot of things you can deduct that you can't when you're an employee. Our congregation had built a new building a couple years earlier, and they were paying off their 5-year pledge to that campaign. They had taught me to give 10% of what I earned while I was in high school. So this information about their giving confirmed that message about generosity. In the Hebrew Bible reading today, we have an expression of God's generosity. God will gather the people from the north and the farthest parts of the earth with special attention to the weak and infirm. God will console the people and lead them to walk on a straight path along refreshing brooks of water. The psalm is also full of the promise of God's generosity and care for God's people. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy, because the Lord has done great things for them. In the gospel for today, Bartimaeus receives his sight. And out of gratitude, we read, he follows Jesus on the way. And then the last stanza of the hymn that we're going to sing after the sermon today begins, "How can any praise we offer measure all the thanks we owe? Take our hearts and hands and voices, gifts of love we can bestow." These lines arise from an attitude of gratitude, to adopt a phrase from 12-step recovery groups. It's the belief that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from God. This has been and is a congregation of generous people. There's a culture of generosity at Upper Dublin. The response to the recent tornado is just one illustration of it. It's something to celebrate and to pass on to younger generations. I know from experience that it's usually easier for those of us who are older and have fewer responsibilities to be generous. When we have children at home, a new mortgage, College education's looming. We need to be careful, and we can't be quite as expansive in our giving. But those of us who've been around for a while can set an example and can help those behind us grow into this response to God's grace in Christ with glad and generous hearts. I know that I've learned generosity from my elders, insofar as I've become someone with a glad and generous heart. It's because of the witness of my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, and a lot of older parishioners, including some of you. When picturing generosity, a story from my first congregation in Queens, New York City, stands out in my mind. Emma was not a member of our congregation, but a neighbor knew that she and her blind husband were of Lutheran background, and she called us and asked us to visit when her husband was dying. They had no relatives, and both of them were in their 80s. Emma was almost deaf. I had to talk like this, close to her ear, for her to be able to hear me. When she wanted me to visit, she asked the neighbor to call. A few months after her husband died, I got a call from the neighbor that she wanted me to be present on a certain day at a certain time because a representative of the Internal Revenue Service was coming to visit her. The agent wanted to know the source of the large deposits that she was making at the local bank. I watched the agent's chin drop to his chest as she told him that her husband did not trust banks and therefore he kept their life savings, about $80,000, in paper bags in the bottom drawer of the bureau. After he died, she was nervous about this and began taking one bag a week, about $5,000, to the local bank and deposited the cash. One just has to imagine this kind of stooped over woman walking slowly up the sidewalk with this paper bag in her handbag of $5,000 cash. Every time I visited, she reminded me that she wanted her money, whatever she had, to benefit the blind because her husband had been blind. When she decided that she could no longer live alone, I told her that if she wanted money to go to the blind, she needed to make a gift before she entered assisted living. She wondered how much should she give. She had two savings accounts, one with about $30,000 and one with about $50,000. I suggested she could give the smaller one. She thought about it for a minute, and then she said, "I want to give them the bigger one." So we went to the bank and got a check. I wrote a letter to the New York Association for the Blind to accompany the check. Emma died about 9 months later. When the association's annual report for that year came out, there were five names in the top giving category of over $25,000. The Chase Manhattan Bank, the Bank of New York, Manufacturers Hanover Bank, Citibank, and Emma Mueller. This has been and is a congregation of generous people. There's a culture of generosity, and it's something to celebrate and to pass on to younger generations. I know from experience that it's usually easier for those of us who are older and have fewer responsibilities to be generous. Those of us who've been around for a while and those who've been especially blessed can set an example and can help those behind us grow into this response to God's grace in Christ with glad and generous hearts. May the Spirit guide our response to God's grace in Christ. Amen.